This week I've had a word that has been on my mind that I've been looking at, thinking about. That word is righteousness. And I'd like to add another word to it that before we finish today will make a difference. Acceptable righteousness. You know, you would think righteousness, all of it would be acceptable. We find in the scriptures where some was not to God. I would like to have acceptable righteousness in my life. I'd like to give out, this is afternoon service, and it could sure be a sleepy time. So I won't call your name out, but I'd like to share, have you look up some of the scriptures. And maybe if one of the boys will take the mic around when it's time. I want to look at 1 John 2, the second chapter in 15 and 16, if someone will get that. 1 John 2:15-16. Okay. 1 Peter 2:11. And Ephesians 5:15. Okay, I'd like to start first in a verse over in Luke, the first chapter. We read this over in the first chapter where Zacharias, is John the Baptist's father, was serving in the temple when an angel came to him and let him know he's going to have a son. And you remember this story where he said, how can this be? And he said, okay, how it's going to be is you're not going to be able to speak until this child is born. So months have passed. Down in the 64th verse, his mouth was open. John the Baptist has been born now. His mouth was opened immediately. His tongue was loosed, and he spake and praised God. What I'm interested in looking at is what the little prophecy that he gave there. Because it says in the 67th verse, his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he prophesied. He had some things to say. And he says in the 71st verse that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of them that hate us. And it goes down in the 74th verse that he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. What was he prophesying there? Was he saying, tell you what I'd like is the Romans right now have rule over us. We would like to be delivered from the hand of our enemies. I'd like for us to think about, you know what, I would like to be delivered from the hand of my enemies. What's our enemy today? Satan has some tools that he wants to use on us. He's been an enemy to us making heaven. You know, we sang that song, I Mean to Go Right On. And you know what he means to oppose us with everything he can to cause us to miss it. So he's saying, I want to be delivered out of the hand of our enemies. Well, there are some things that will be an enemy to us. So let's look at a few of those verses. I want to have righteousness in my life. So maybe, Amanda, I think you had 1 John 2 and 15 through 16.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world.
So this verse is a little warning to us. In the day and time that we're living in, there's an enemy that would like to oppose us, cause us to miss heaven at the end. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There's the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes. It's not of the Father, it's of the world. It's an enemy. And we can have freedom from some of those enemies. 1 Peter 2:11.
Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul.
Okay, I'm beseeching you that you abstain from fleshly lust that war against the soul, that's trying to cause us to not be delivered from our enemies. Okay, Ephesians 5:15.
See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise.
What does circumspectly mean? If you are walking circumspectly, it's not just looking out in front of you, but you're alert to all of your surroundings around you. Have you ever gone hiking on a trail? You know, a lot of times when you're walking a trail, you're looking at the scenery around you and you're enjoying the walk, and you're just glancing off the trail a lot. If you happen to pass somebody that's leaving the trail, they've just been on it, and they pass you as they head to the parking lot and you're just fixing to head for the trail, and they tell you, you need to be really careful walking today. I have seen several snakes whenever I walk this path. Would you enjoy nature as much? It'd be eyes on the trail all the time. I was telling Cheryl last night about this verse. She said, I wouldn't walk the trail. I'm not going to be looking for snakes. I'm not going to be on the trail. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. In 2023, with me determining I mean to go right on until the crown is won, for me to be able to do it, I'm going to have to walk circumspectly. I'm going to have to be not just looking forward, but I'm going to have to be noticing, you know what, the enemy can slip up behind me in some other place that I did not realize and cause me to miss it. So I have some more verses. Isaiah 35 and 8. Someone Psalms 23 and 1 through 3. And Proverbs 14 and 34. All right, Isaiah 35 and 8.
And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. And the unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein.
A highway of holiness. You know what? Salvation still involves holiness.
Yes.
And it's a highway. You know, the religious world today will say you can mix the two together. You can take in the world and still be a Christian. This one says there's a highway of holiness. It says the unclean will not err therein. The unclean will not be on it. I'm thankful for that. And then I read this in Psalms 23 and 1 through 3.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake.
The Lord is my shepherd. And one of the things that he would like to do for me is to lead me. In 2023, he would like to lead me in paths of righteousness. He would like to take me in directions that make it the easiest as possible for me to be righteous in my life. What is the definition of righteousness? It's a conformity of heart and life to God's divine law. It is, now remember, we've added a word before we finish today. We want to have acceptable righteousness. Righteousness is a conformity of heart and life to God's divine law. This one says he would like to lead me in paths of righteousness. We had it may have been even this morning that we had that song, He Leadeth Me. It says, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught, whatever I do, wherever I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. I am thankful that with the world having as many people as there are in it, that he is interested in leading each one of us individually to help us to be able to make heaven our home and to have righteousness in my life. What is it? A conformity of my heart and life to the divine law. That I see it in the scriptures and my heart says amen to it and I put it to practice in my life. Okay, God would like that to be on a national level. You know, he'd love it. He wanted it to be for the children of Israel. So Proverbs 14 and 34.
Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people.
Righteousness exalteth a nation. sin is a reproach to any people. It has been, we could take that verse and apply it to the United States and see it surely was so. I believe there was a time, there has been times in the past we have enjoyed blessings from it when righteousness exalted our nation. Why was it? Because there was a conformity to some level. There was a respect to the divine law of God. There was a time when the Ten Commandments were welcomed in public places. Because you know what? We had a desire as a nation. This is a good law for us to be able to have. We're trying to figure out the killings that go on today. When God had one of his Ten Commandments for us, said, "Thou shalt not kill." You know, if we had taken that divine law, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Well, you know, there's not a whole lot that we can do about national level, but we can do something about our level. There's another verse in, let me give out a few more verses, in Proverbs 29 and 2, Isaiah 32 and 17 through 18, and Psalms 15, 1 through 2, Psalms 106 and 3. All right, let's start with Proverbs 29 and 2.
When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn.
Have you found that to be so? And you know what? I don't believe we would try to say, okay, this talks about Democrat or Republican. This talks about when a righteous man is in authority, we rejoice. Why is that? Because whoever it is, whatever name tag you would apply to it, if it's a righteous man, he's going to be making some righteous laws. Yes. And we get to rejoice in that. You know, we're not, sometimes I have heard people say, it's true, the leader of our country is not good, but the economy is good. Is that what we're interested in? Folks, we're interested in something much more than the economy. What we're looking at is the moral fabric. What is it? Righteousness exalteth the nation. Sin is still a reproach to any people. Our nation has been blessed when the righteous ruled. But what I'm interested in is, you know what? If it doesn't happen as a nation, it can happen as an individual. It doesn't mean that, well, because a nation as a whole turned away from it, so there's nothing in it for me. There is something in it for me. There's some benefits that go with righteousness. Who has Isaiah 32 and 17 through 18?
And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in a quiet and in quiet resting places.
The work of righteousness will be peace. That's on the individual level. I am thankful for that, that we can have peace in our life. There's a song, a verse of it is this. What a wonderful salvation, where we always see his face. What a peaceful habitation, what a quiet resting place. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, blessed assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea, Jesus speaks to me, and the billows cease to roll. You know, I am thankful that this verse can be our verse. The work of righteousness in my life shall be peace. Divine law. You know where it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, maybe even all your strength. Letting the Lord be first in my life gives me a love for his law. You know, any of this, okay, I'm doing the divine law, but I really don't want to be doing it. What does it say with Psalms 1:1? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this law, he meditates day and night. You know what's going to be the effect of that in his life? It's going to make righteousness come about. I love the law of God. I want it in my life. I want it to be played out in the decisions that I make. Okay, the next verse, maybe Psalms 15.
Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart.
Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who's going to dwell in thy holy hill? He that worketh righteousness. I want to be able to do that. You know what? We're going to be able to do that tomorrow. Each one of us, wherever we go, whatever our job is or whatever, maybe to at the grocery store, there's going to be an opportunity for us to work righteousness, show righteousness in our life, be able to show out to the world, and I'm thankful for that. Psalms 106:3.
Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doth righteousness at all times.
Blessed is he that doeth righteousness. There's a blessing that comes from that, that just through my life, I want to know more of that divine law. I want to be able to understand it, and then I want it to be able to be put out in my life. But now what I want us to look at, I want to be able to have acceptable righteousness. The devil has a plan for righteous people. That it ends up not being acceptable. To who? To God. So there's something that we want to look at. Because you know what? I just always thought, righteousness, you're there. But there is a way that it be accepted. So I want to give out some other verses. Ephesians 2:8-9.
For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
That's a verse that I always need to keep in front of me as I desire to do righteousness. By grace, I'm saved. You know, it comes through Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made for me. It's not of works that I have done, lest any man should boast. There's another song we sing. No righteousness of ours can e'er avail, but through the Lamb of God we shall prevail. There's power in the blood, all else will fail. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. To save the soul today, wash every sin away. There is power in the blood of Jesus. And that's where acceptable righteousness comes from. So I want you to be thinking in your mind, where do we read about people that had righteousness, but it was not accepted? I was reading this, and you'll find it in the commentary yourself, about the Pharisees. You know what? They desired to have righteousness, or they desired to do right things. I want to read you what the commentary says about these people. It says it's a very numerous sect among the Jews who in their origin, they were a pure and a holy people. The name Pharisee is to separate. It came from separating themselves from the pollution of the Jewish national worship. Holy persons who stand apart or by themselves, but in the process of time, they lost the spirit of their institution. And when Christ came preaching, they only had a form of godliness. They still were doing the things that could have been considered in the righteousness category. Said he bore witness that they made the outside of the cup clean. They observed the rules, but the spirit was gone. What about for us today? You know what? Time can pass by to where I just observe the rules somewhat, but the spirit is gone of it. My soul be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise. You know what? The devil knows what to try for each one of us. For us here today, I don't believe he'd come to us with a sin. I want you to go off into the world and commit sin. But I tell you what he would like to do. He would like my righteousness to fall in the category that it's not accepted by God. The devil is willing for me to have a form of godliness as long as the power is not there. He's got a plan for us. And I think we can look back at the children of Israel and see part of the plan that he had. Someone get Romans 10, 10th chapter, and 1 through 4. Someone get Luke 18 and 9. And Matthew 5 and 20. Matthew 5 and 20. Okay, go ahead with Romans 10 and 1 through 4.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth.
Okay, these verses, we heard this word before this morning. This morning we heard it. Have a zeal for God. My heart's desire and prayer for Israel was that they be saved. I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but it's not according to the knowledge that they need to be able to fulfill it. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. You know, this was a tough time to live in, because the Pharisees started out with a desire to keep this worship pure, and they wanted to follow exactly what God had required. But you know, Jesus came along to show them, this is now something deeper. I'm going down into the heart. You remember when he said, I've told you thou shalt not kill, the Old Testament did, but I say unto you that if you hate your brother, it's considered the same. It has been said thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you committed adultery. He has gone into another level, you know, and they were willing to stick with the old. You remember whenever he went through and his disciples plucked corn on the Sabbath day? Seemed like several times he healed on the Sabbath day. I think there was a purpose in that. He was trying to show them that he came to bring about a change, and they refused it. Let's look at Luke 18 and 9.
And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others.
Okay. That verse in itself, he spake a parable to them that trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. What story did he give? Two men went down to pray. One was a Pharisee, and we just read about the Pharisees. Going to keep this thing pure. We're going to do all of the written law, and we're going to do a whole lot of the things that was not written, but we've just heard that you need to be doing it. and we even add a few on. You remember he said, they add on so many burdens, you're not able to live it, and they're not able to live it. But they hold this level. It's the Pharisees. Trusted in themselves that they were righteous. I was reading this also about the Pharisees. They devoted themselves to special strictness of religion. Felt that they were justified by their conformity to the law. They were proud and self-righteous, and they held the common people in a great disrespect. Trusted in themselves that they were righteous. When the one man, when the Pharisee went down to pray, what was his prayer? I thank you that I am not like other men. I fast twice in the week. I give of all I possess. In other words, my works. What does it say in the verse that we read just a little bit ago? Not by works, lest any man should boast. By grace are ye saved through faith. That is still what saves us. That is still what keeps us saved, is recognizing the Lord is the one responsible for it all. Both went up to pray. The other one, what was his prayer? Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he said they both went home. One of them justified. And it wasn't the one that was self-righteous. I think there's something for me to learn from that. No righteousness of ours will ever avail. It's through the Lamb of God that we shall prevail. Paul had some credentials. And as we read those, it almost sounds like he was bragging about those. Let's look in, well, I'm missing a verse, Matthew 5 and 20. Let's do it first.
For I say unto you that expect your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. I cease ye shall into the kingdom of heaven.
Except your righteousness goes to a different level than the scribes and the Pharisees. Trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. You know what I want to be able to have? I want to be able to have God's stamp of approval on my life. Righteousness is still what we want to live by. I don't want it to be my own righteousness. So think about some other verses. Paul had some credentials. Look at Philippians 3 and 5. Someone will get that.
5, 6.
Matthew 5 and 6. Okay, let's go to these in Philippians 3 and 5.
Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew, of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee.
Okay, go ahead to the next two verses also.
Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ.
Okay, that has some interesting things in it. As touching the law, I was a Pharisee. In other words, that's a good credential right there. If you're a Pharisee talking about the law, I did it. It says, touching the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. You know what? He was one of those that was persecuting the church because Jesus brought about something different than just as touching the law of Pharisee and the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. There were some changes that he brought about in Paul's life. Remember when Paul said, what wilt thou have me to do? And surely a change came into his life. What things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Okay, in Titus, the third chapter in 3 through 6.
For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness
which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior.
So that's kind of interesting. Remember where it told us, what was it saying? They trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Well, just in case that we would think we're doing real good, what does this verse say? We ourselves were sometimes foolish. You know, the message this morning, and we could each one look back at times where, wow, I sure wish I could redo that part that I had done. We ourselves. So what does it do? It causes us to have more mercy on others because we realize, you know what? It wasn't something that I was able to do so good myself. We ourselves were sometimes foolish. But here's what happened. Was it something that I did? After the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, and they were reminded again, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. He shed it on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And because of that, we need to surely be thanking Christ. Yes. That we can even live a righteous life is because of him. So I have one more verse, Matthew 5 and 6. It's something to us that is an offer. It's a promise for us. Matthew 5 and 6.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
What if it said, but if the world is so evil, if the nation itself does not choose to follow God, then this is not fulfilled. This is available for every one of us. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Not to be able to show others how holy I am, but I want to please the Lord with my life. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. And then the 16th verse of that same chapter.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
So, you know, that's quite a contrast from the two that went up to pray. The Pharisee says, I tell you what, take a look at all the things that I have done. This one tells us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. The difference there is what happens when they see your good works. This one says, when it's finished, after they have seen your good works, who do they glorify? That they would glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I'd like for us to close with that song number 302. My soul, be on thy guard. The devil has a plan for every one of us. If he cannot get us with bitterness about something that's happened in our life, if he cannot get us with the sins of the world, you know, we started out with the verse, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If he sees there's no place to be able to get that, he would love for us to just take righteousness and do like the Pharisee did, trusted in themselves that they were righteous. We need the Lord all the time. I mean to go right on until the crown is won. Righteousness is going to be a part of it. But I want it to be acceptable righteousness. I desire your prayers.